This podcast of Seattle Unity Sunday Service is free to you, but it's not free to make. Please remember to hit the donate button so we can continue to bring you great podcasts like this one.
If there is a load you have to bear that you can't carry, I'm right up the road. I'll share your load if you just call.
As our first step into this more contemplative part of the service, I invite Steve Grant forward for a reading.
Divine Order by Jeffon Seeley. In this infinite universe we are all a part of, there is an underlying essence, energy, and presence filling all things. It is within the gases, minerals, and elements that combine to form planets and stars. It is not only within all these things, but it is the space in which all these things are created. Divine order is the essence that pulls planets together to create solar systems and galaxies. It is that which empowers our sun to shine upon our sacred planet. It is that which empowers our planet to spin, rivers to flow, and animals to be birthed and plants to grow. It is within each and every one of us. It is the presence that enabled us to wake up this morning. It is that which beats our hearts, breathes oxygen through our lungs, empowers our cells to divide, and the underlying essence that enables our atoms to thrive. This divine order is ever-present, filling the beautiful and the horrific, the growth and the decay of life. It is God, Source, the Infinite. Look deep enough with your inner eyes, and you will see that this divine order is in everything.
Why you look so sad? Come talk to me now. Don't be afraid to cry. Let me see you through, 'cause I've seen the dark side too. Talk to me now. Hey, why you got to hide? Let me see you through. Oh, I'm alive like you.
When you're standing at the crossroads,
bless us from Unity of Everett. So sometimes I think if we are living a good life, you know, if we're doing our spiritual practice, if we're awakening spiritually, that we should have a problem-free life. Have you ever thought that? Like, you know, once I get my act together, things are just going to flow smoothly and I won't have any problems anymore. And the truth is, as long as we're in a physical body, we're going to have problems. Yeah, the plumbing's gonna go, the car needs repair, my iPhone just stopped working, the whole screen went out, and then I got in my car and my maps doesn't work either. I'm like, I can't go any place new over the next couple of days until I get that fixed. So there's always things that are going to go wrong, but Scott Peck says that it is through mastering and solving, or meeting and solving problems, that we grow spiritually. So it's not that problems are a punishment or that we did something wrong, but rather they are a vehicle through which we can grow spiritually. So in a sense, problems then are gifts because it can help us grow spiritually. So the next time something goes wrong, just say, hey, this is an opportunity for me to solve this problem and for me to grow spiritually. However, many times, that's the ideal. Instead of facing problems, we tend to avoid them. Anybody here? And we create, again, what Scott Peck refers to as pseudo problems. So we have a problem in front of us. We don't want to face it. So rather than face it, we create or we do something else. So maybe we all have different coping mechanisms. You can fill in the blank. Maybe we work too much or we eat too much food or drink or play games or whatever. And then he says what happens is not only do we still have the first problem that's in front of us that we're not facing, but now we created a new one. So now we have another problem in front of the problem that we were going to try to solve in the first place. So, and it's a coping mechanism that we all use. So as we face the problems in front of us, right now, we can give in to fear and bury our heads in the sand. So these are problems both personally and globally. We can either face the problems head on, or we can hide our head in the sands. And one of the ways that we face reality is by, I think, we can give in to fear, or we can face reality with a sense of leadership and responsibility. And I think that's what's being called for all of us right now, is this sense of stepping up into leadership and responsibility to affect the sphere in which we live. So in addition to prayer and meditation and other spiritual practices, I think that there are three things that can provide a foundation for taking us through the challenging times that we find ourselves in. And the first is community. The second is the ability to witness suffering. And the third is mindful action. So you are not alone. Spending time with friends and family is core to emotional and mental health. But I think it's also important to spend time with your spiritual family. So I just came back from 2 weeks at the Shivananda Yoga Retreat in the Bahamas. And somebody, I know it was rough. Somebody had to do it, right? And many of you know I used to live there back in 1980. I was on staff. And this time I sort of, even though I participated in the meditation and the exercise classes and things, there's hundreds of people there from all over the world, so it's actually amazing that you get to meet all these people. But this time I ate by myself, and I kept silence quite a bit. I stayed away and kept silence. But the thing about going to places like that, and I know many of us have been on different spiritual retreats, is that there's an atmosphere and an energy that's created there to uplift one, to support one in spiritual awakening. Whether you're participating in everything or not, there's an energy that is created. Now, I know we don't live together here, but we do come here on Sunday morning, and there is, and you've heard me quote Jesus a million times, whenever two or more are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. And that is that magical thing that happens when we come together in lifting our consciousness, in prayer, in meditation. There's something else, the Holy Spirit, the movement of God, that starts to shift and change. And it's an energy that we can all tap into. And in these times, I think it's important that we make a commitment to that, because being out in the world alone and getting buried sometimes by some of the things that are happening can be more than we can handle. So next Saturday, the foundation of the new building is being laid. And so if you would like to go and witness that, it starts early in the morning into the afternoon, and Diana's going to send up an email updating us on that. But as there's a foundation being laid for the new building, we too, as a community, are also laying a new foundation. I want to say that my experience here is that you are an amazing group of people, and I feel blessed to be your minister. I really do. Because your intelligence, your compassion, and your sense of humor has made it a privilege to be a part of this community. And what I have noticed that since we have moved into this new space, that different people are getting to meet different people. See, I always knew that you were all amazing because I knew pretty much everybody, but you guys didn't know that. And I see, what I'm seeing is that more and more connections are being made in the community, partly because we're all mixed up from a different way than we were in our pews. And again, there's that, whenever two or more are gathered in my name, there's that energy that is being created. So today, we are calling out a few of the different groups that are in the ministry, and they're waiting to embrace you and to welcome you into their fold. And I know that Aaron will also be talking about it during the meditation. But we have our Emoji group, who has put on the Kwanzaa experience for us at the end of December. They have an event coming up. The men are having a retreat. The women are having a women's retreat. I already said we have the chaplaincy program. Linda James leads the Quest group every Sunday. So there's lots of different groups that are happening, and it's a way to get connected and bonded and to have somebody know your name and have somebody connect with you and say, where have you been and what can I do and how can I support you as you move through the challenges in life. I think the other way to become connected is through service. And again, during this time of transition, we need help. We really need your help. And specifically, we need help setting up in the morning. Even though Metropolis does a wonderful job setting things up for us, we still have to put out the coffee and do the different things. People have been amazing bringing different foods for us to eat after. That's been a joy. We need help packing up at the end of the service. And, you know, Don and Paul have been amazing in helping with that. So I'm inviting you to step up and usher, greeters, you name it, and ask how you can get involved. Don't even wait for us to come find you, but ask how you can get involved, because this is part of building a foundation. Now, in the yogic teachings, service, volunteerism, is called karma yoga. And karma yoga is one of the four limbs of the yogic teachings. And the four limbs are jnana, which is the path of the intellect, bhakti, which is the path of devotion, whether it be chanting and singing, love, that's the second one. The third one is hatha, which is the body. And then the fourth is karma yoga, which is the yoga of action. So every time that we do a service for one another, rather than going, okay, how much longer do you need me here? I'm going to, you know, it's like this is an act of worship, and I'm going to step into this as if I am worshiping God, as if I am serving God. And that's the difference between showing up for service and doing karma yoga. Swami Shivananda said it this way when he said, "Your duty is to treat everybody with love as a manifestation of the Lord. A karma yogi who does all work in the form of worship of God loses himself in God consciousness by total self-surrender. Her will becomes one with the cosmic will." So when you come to help, do it as an act of worship. The second thing that can provide a foundation this year, which I think we're going to be called upon a great deal, is to witness suffering. Now, next to prayer, this is the core teaching of the chaplain program. And again, if it's something you're interested in, please ask one of the chaplains. But what does it mean to witness suffering? So to witness suffering is someone comes to you and they're sick or they're in trouble or something's wrong. And when we witness suffering, we're there to listen. We're there to hold sacred space. We're there to be there. What it isn't is crawling into a hole with somebody. Like, oh my God, everything is wrong and everything's miserable and I don't know what to do. And it's like, yeah, I'm going to crawl into this hole with you and I'm going to say, yeah, everything is so bad and everything is so miserable, even if it is. Because what good does that serve? It doesn't serve you and it doesn't serve the other person. So right now, we're called to be a witness to suffering. And what that means is that we need to have a strong core, a strong foundation within us, a strong feeling of who am I? I am the presence and spirit of God, and I can take it. I can handle it. Because in that way, we can become a healing force for whatever is in front of us and for whatever is facing us. Now, I know that many of us are affected, at least emotionally and spiritually, by the fires in Australia. And I was reading an article this week about a family, and they had two pigs, two really big pigs, that they took on a number of years ago because they had been abused or something was wrong that they took these pigs in. And the pigs' names are Katie and Jimmy. And I got to tell you, whenever I go to the dog park now and I ask people, what's your dog's name? It's Charlie, it's John, it's Donna, it's Hazel, it's Susie. And I sometimes want to ask the owner, so what's your name? Spot? Fuzzy? I mean, dogs don't have dog names anymore. So it shouldn't surprise me that there's two pigs named Jimmy and Katie. So anyway, they have their two pigs and the fires are coming. And so they're, of course, concerned. So they decided that they would transport the pigs to the place where they originally came from, which was 4 hours away, where they would be safe. Well, guess what? Their property was fine, wasn't touched. But where they sent the pigs had just been demolished and totally burnt. So they went, after the fires had receded, they go back. And they could find Jimmy, but they didn't find Katie because Katie had died in the fire. And they brought Jimmy home. And all he could do is lay in the mud. Like, he would drink water, but he wouldn't eat. He just would lay in the mud as if he were calling on the earth to heal him. And I want to share with you what Danielle Seller-Maher said. So he's recovering. He's recovered from the fires. He's not burnt. He's just emotionally. And I know it's a story of a pig, but these animals are amazing, and I think we're seeing that more and more. The next morning, he began to look for Katie. Everywhere, in their house, down in the woods, up under the trees, he would turn and look and stand very still, listening for her, perhaps smelling the remnants of her presence. And then he stopped. My guess is that now that he was home, he could stop being hypervigilant. He could relax the terror that had been keeping him in movement, but with that relaxation, both the reality of Katie's death and the trauma of his experience of the fire came to the fore. He placed his body on the cool of the earth, and he has not gotten back up. When he will get up again, and whether he will find a way back to his world are among the uncertainties we now have to live with. When people talk about the fires, they often speak of being overwhelmed by the enormity of the devastation, but we don't really have the capacity to grasp this much loss, not only to humans, but to wild and domesticated animals, to the bush, to the very possibility of regeneration. I know I don't. But I can hold, and here's where the witness of the suffering comes in, but I can hold Jimmy's enormous grieving head in my arms and be present to the gravity and the finality of his loss, and at the same time to his broken but miraculous presence. That's an example of witnessing suffering, of being, not just with our fellow humans, but being with other beings. So to build a strong foundation, I believe we need community. I believe we need to witness suffering. And then the third is, I believe we need to take mindful action. Because many of us are overwhelmed, like, what am I supposed to do? And for each of us, it'll be different. Maybe it's giving money. Maybe it's volunteering. Maybe it's voting. Maybe it's writing a representative. Maybe, you know, every single one of us, that's why I'm calling it mindful action, because we need to be aware. Because again, I believe we're at a crossroads, and the crossroads is, what do? Do we give in to fear, and do we give in to despair, or do we take on leadership and responsibility, and then step into what it is we can affect, and do that? So listen to your own inner voice for how to help. So yes, as Scott Peck said, life is difficult. And life is a series of problems. But it is through meeting the problems and solving the problems that we grow spiritually. So it looks like we've signed up for the PhD program in problem solving, wouldn't you say? You're not alone. You have your community. You have your support. Be willing to witness suffering and then take action, because I believe that together we will find a way. And I would like to close with a prayer. So, and this prayer was written by Peter Bierer. So I invite you to turn your attention within for a moment. And this prayer speaks to the reality. Father, Mother, God, I grieve for the loss of human life, of homes, animals, plants, and trees, and the scarring of the earth. I am saddened for the original custodians of the land, the first peoples of Australia, and the poor and marginalized, disproportionately affected by the fires. I am afraid because these fires are out of my control. I look for someone to blame. Scientists have warned for decades of the dangers of climate change, yet our leaders sit idly by. I am even angry with you, God. Can't you stop the fires? I am ashamed, O God. Am I partly to blame for these fires? I hold tightly to my comforts and convenience, which contribute to higher carbon levels in the atmosphere, and yet I do not know how to help. Turn my shame into healing. I am thankful for the firefighters who work tirelessly to protect your people, for the volunteers who donate money and supplies. And I am grateful for the rain when it comes. Fill us with compassion and mercy to stand with our sisters and brothers. Give us strength to join in their suffering and bear witness to their pain. Bring fresh air to drive away the toxic fumes and ashen skies. Breathe new life into us. Inspire us with love to care for one another and the earth. Open the heavens, quench the flames, heal the parched land, and nourish our souls. Anoint and soothe the wounds of the victims, seen and unseen. Heal the land, heal our hearts, and make us new again. And we do affirm this in the name and through the nature of the living Spirit of Truth. Amen.
ramblers in the wilderness. We can't find what we need. Get a little restless from the searching. Get a little worn down in between.
Like a bull chasing the matador, is the man left to his own schemes. Everybody needs someone beside them, shining like a lighthouse from the sea. Brother, let me be your shelter.
Never leave you all alone.
I can be the one you call when you're low.
Sister, let me be your fortress when the night winds are driving on.
Be the one to light the way in you.
Face down in the desert now, there's a cage locked around my heart. Found a way to drop the keys where my failures were. Now my hands can't reach that far.
I ain't made for rivalry. I could never take the world alone. Know that in my weakness I am strong, but it's your love that brings me home.
Brother, let me be your shelter. Never leave you all alone.
I can be the one you call when you're low.
Sister, let me be your fortress when the night winds are driving on.
Be the one to light the way, lead you home.
And when you call and need me near, saying where'd you go, sister, I'm right here.
And on those days when the sky begins to fall, you're the blood of my blood. We can get through it all.
Brother, let me be your shelter. Never leave you all alone.
I can be the one you call when you're low.
Sister, let me be your fortress. Oh, brother, let me be your shelter. Never leave you all alone.
I can be the one you call when you're low.
Sister, let me be your fortress when the night winds are driving on.
Be the light, the way, bring you home.
And so we lower our arms, remaining connected and joining with all who are worshiping, no matter the form or place. So if you would like to send a prayer to a place or a person right now, please speak the names into this sacred place. And together we join in our prayer for protection. The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well.
And that's the truth.
If you enjoyed the Seattle Unity Sunday service, please hit the donate button so we can bring you even more uplifting music and messages. Or join us in person Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. You can find directions and information about all our programs, classes, services, and events at www.seattleunity.org. Or find us on Facebook, where we post all our readings, links to more podcasts, and sermon videos. Seattle Unity, celebrating, inspiring, and deepening our individual and collective spiritual journeys.